Hello, everyone. Welcome to Science Unscripted. It's Connor here.
And Gabe.
And Gabe, I guess in a way you've got questions for me today.
Well, you were just in on a TV appearance for DW News.
I was on TV.
They wanted a science expert to talk about the latest anti-vax arguments, the reasons why people are against the coronavirus vaccine. What were they asking?
Well, so, you know, we have already reported on some anti-vax arguments in the past. They keep changing. That's the thing. There's always something different. There's always something new. And so one of the editors, TV editors in Berlin, got in touch and he's like, look here, I've got a couple of videos. I'm going to play clips of them for you. And I just want you to react. Tell me what you're thinking, what your thoughts are.
Now, these are videos that are circulating on Facebook right now, or they have been in the last few days.
I've given Gabe my phone here. Gabe's got it there. If you click the link into Facebook, it's going to show you something you've never seen before.
Okay, so this is one of the editors saying this is a video of someone allegedly having a reaction. Let me just click in on this.
Bring the EKG machine to room 11. EKG machine to room 11.
Okay, so this is a video of a woman in a hospital bed convulsing, violently convulsing.
Yeah, yeah.
This was because of the vaccine? Is that the argument?
Correct. That's her argument. That's what she has posted to Facebook. That video, or those two videos rather, the other one shows her tongue twitching uncontrollably. Those videos have been shared more than 250,000 times. I don't know much more about it than that because it was my job to react to these videos and to kind of.
let me be honest here, Connor. I mean, they look very serious and I don't think you can fake that stuff.
No. No.
She's suffering from something.
She appears to be suffering from...
And it's from the vaccine?
A neurological disorder. Let me say the most important point first. This is a video that popped up on Facebook. And folks, if you're listening out there, be really skeptical of what pops up on Facebook. I don't know if this is fake or not, but why she claims to have gotten a vaccine. Do we know that?
Can that be confirmed?
I don't...
Do we know that this woman took a vaccine?
In a way, it doesn't matter. I didn't have time to look into it for on TV.
Actually is a good point. Yeah, maybe it doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter because the fact is, let's assume for the sake of the argument that she did get a vaccine and now she has what appears to be a neurological disorder. Well, her getting a vaccine, that puts her among the millions of people per day who are getting vaccinated.
Between 2 and 3 million.
Right now, the number's going up. Yep. And if you take that group of 2 to 3 million people and don't vaccinate them, somebody on a given day is going to have a neurological disorder that's suddenly going to crop up for the first time, right?
Uh-huh.
So,
but in the minds of the people who are sharing and who are viewing this video on Facebook, the connection is made, the association is made. Vaccine? And convulsing in a hospital bed and tongue twitching. And
I don't doubt that she feels that this connection is correct. But just because A happened before B does not mean they're connected at all. And again, I also very important to say here, one isolated video like this, please don't take it seriously. Assume that it is false and assume that it has no connection to a vaccine. Now, I guess what could maybe be an area of concern is if suddenly out of the blue, dozens of similar videos pop up with people exhibiting the exact same symptoms mm-hmm. and they were healthy before and they had just gotten, you know, vaccinated. Sure, that would be a cause for concern, but not this.
My one problem with assume it's fake is, of course, the people who are arguing for the anti-vax side, they're going to say, of course, the media is going to want to say that we should assume it's fake.
Sure.
What if the argument would be better, even if that was caused by a vaccine? It still doesn't matter.
Correct.
Because bad things happen all the time.
And final thought with this particular woman, our listeners haven't seen her. She appears to be, I don't know, in her mid-40s, let's say, maybe closer to 50. The fact that she has already been vaccinated would suggest to me that either she's a medical worker or she has an underlying condition. Mm-hmm. And that underlying condition may have, if that's the case, it's a thought in my mind anyway, that could have led to this. What
already
appears to
suffering
be,
from something neurological.
Correct. And that is what has actually happened here.
Science Unscripted.
All right. That was the first clip. We're moving on to the second clip, another video here on YouTube.
Right.
Urgent information on the COVID vaccine.
Yeah. Go ahead and run.
Can I just hold on?
Run that one.
So folks, telling you just this part, this could be considered or possibly the potential to be used as a bioweapon, right? They are injecting cancers into your body along with very toxic substances like mercury derivatives and aluminum derivatives and other things like that, in addition to the unknown effect of
Let me just stop that right now. Cancer? And mercury.
And aluminum derivatives.
And aluminum derivatives. Okay. So, how does she know that?
Let's go through these point by point. First of all, you can't inject cancer. That's not a thing that happens. If you've got cancer, Gabe.
Oh, you can't just make that in the lab?
Well, I bet, in a petri dish, you could have human cells and cause them to start multiplying, you know, out of control and create cancerous cells. Sure. You can't inject somebody else's cancer into another person's body and give them cancer. That's how my body at the injection point.
Specific.
Yeah. And my body would have an immune reaction to that injection and knock it out unless I'm extremely immunocompromised. Yeah. You just can't. First of all, that's bogus.
Just from a scientific perspective here, what happens if you were injected with mercury? How quickly would you know?
Mercury, okay.
Because millions of people have been injected with these vaccines. Wouldn't we know by now?
Okay, but here's what's...
It's a poison.
Mercury is a poison. What's interesting is a kind of mercury called ethyl mercury has been used in vaccines for quite a long time. That's where this is... She didn't just choose that, you know, for no reason. And so ethyl mercury in certain vaccines that where you could get like a couple of doses out of the same vial, they would have that in there to prevent uncontrolled bacterial growth from happening in the vial, right? So if you're going to get an injection of a vaccine, last thing you want is extra bacteria in there.
I guess what the bioweapon part is where I'm thinking, if it's mercury and it's a bioweapon, wouldn't we know by now?
Yes, but...
We're a few weeks into the campaign here.
Again, just to be clear, COVID-19 vaccines do not have cancer in them. It's ridiculous to have to say that. They do not have any derivative of mercury, any kind of mercury. Definitely not the mRNA vaccines. There are a lot of vaccines out there. I can't necessarily speak for all of them.
Okay, well, what about microchips?
No microchips. You've got lots of microchips in your pocket if you've got a smartphone right now.
Okay, and it's not going to kill our immune system.
Correct. The last one there, aluminum. I don't even know if I'm pronouncing the word right. Aluminum, a type of aluminum, has been used in vaccines in the past as what's called an adjuvant, if I'm saying that correctly, accelerating the immune system response to an antigen, you know, injected into you.
It's a catalyst. It's catalyst.
Yeah, it's like putting your vaccine reaction on steroids.
It's why insulin works. Insulin is a catalyst for the reaction that gets the sugar out of the blood. Without the catalyst, that reaction wouldn't happen.
Exactly. So again, aluminum has not been pulled out of nowhere. It's been used in the past, at least in the BioNTech Pfizer vaccine and the Moderna vaccine, both mRNA vaccines. They don't have that stuff in them. What do they have? They have mRNA, which is like a code. They have its lipids, so a fatty substance. They have some salts.
Yeah.
And something, one other thing called PEG. Without getting more to that, that's what may have caused some of those initial, do you remember those allergic reactions that they identified and people recovered relatively quickly?
Yeah.
Has that in there as well, but none of the things that person just said on YouTube are in there. They're all false.
And just because it's called mRNA, it's not going to mess with our genome.
Can't. It's not possible.
But it sounds so much like DNA.
And that's why some people are, you know, mistakenly, I don't know, connecting it to CRISPR-Cas9.
Is that as far as the argument goes?
Yes.
It sounds like DNA, so it must mess with our genes?
Correct. And that's meaning false. That's
And mRNA cannot mess with our genes. We know that 100%.
Now you're putting me on the spot. I don't know. I mean, mRNA causes a reaction in your body. It's like a computer program. It can run a program in your body that could cause your body to... It's causing your body to change in some ways. You're having an immunoresponse to that thing in this case, to whatever's being injected.
Telling our body to fight off that protein on that spike.
Right. And there's no reason that should ever change anything, any part of your genetic material. That's just bunk. It's because mRNA sounds like DNA.
Science Unscripted.
And before we go, we got an email from one of our loyal listeners. This is Mindaugas out of Lithuania, is he?
Yeah. He's one of our guys fighting the good fight on COVID-19 disinformation there.
Yeah, he wrote this email. How are you doing? Hope this reaches you well. I've been under attack by conspiracists regarding this BMJ article, and he provides the link.
British Medical Journal?
It is by the British Medical Journal, assistant editor, and apparently Pfizer is just 19 to 29% effective. That contradicts what, you know, they were saying 95.
So I wanted to look into this, and it turned into a way deeper dive than I'd expected. But what it comes down to, this is an opinion piece A guy named Peter Doshi, based out of the U.S., he is an assistant professor of pharmaceutical health services. He knows what he's talking about. University of Maryland. What he did is he took a look through the roughly 400 pages of documentation that both Pfizer, Moderna, also AstraZeneca had to provide to authorities in the U.S. before they could get their vaccines accepted there. And he found something in there that he, information, data that he hadn't seen anywhere else. And I'm going to read some of this, what he wrote in the British Medical Journal. You know, all attention has focused on the dramatic efficacy results. He's talking about the Pfizer vaccine.
The 95. Exactly.
And he's saying of the 170 PCR confirmed COVID-19 cases that were documented during that, you know, those trials, 8 of them, more or less, were found in the people who had been vaccinated, and 162 COVID-19 infections happened in the people in the placebo group who had not been vaccinated.
Of the 30,000 people in the trial, half were vaccinated, half had the placebo. 170 got COVID who weren't vaccinated, and 8 got it who were vaccinated.
Right, at this
PCR confirmed. Okay.
That's where you get that magic number 95 or 94.5. Mm-hmm. Then he goes on to say, but these numbers, the numbers we just talked about, were dwarfed by a category of disease called, quote unquote, suspected COVID-19. Those with symptomatic COVID-19 that were not PCR confirmed. So there were a total of 3,400 suspected cases amongst the two groups. Now, we're talking about everyone.
Why suspected?
Because they weren't confirmed with a PCR test.
And had the same symptoms, the exact same symptoms that the other COVID patients.
Symptoms that may indicate that you have a COVID-19 infection, fever, headache, loss of sense or taste, gastrointestinal issues.
Got it.
So of those 3,400 suspected cases, 1,600 occurred in the group that had been vaccinated and roughly 1,800 in the placebo group. And that's not that big of a gap, right? So you've got 200, a difference of 200 between the people who were vaccinated and the people who were in the placebo group, indicating that, I mean, here's what he's suggesting, Peter Doshi, in this piece is, what if, you know, do we know that those people didn't have, or that they didn't have COVID-19 and
it's a huge assumption just to assume that because they had symptoms that it was COVID. They had a PCR test and tested negative. That is the gold standard of diagnostics for the COVID-19 disease.
Correct. And as you and I both know, sometimes, honestly, let's be honest, you think you have COVID. You think you have the coronavirus and you don't.
Okay, so of all those people with symptoms, if they actually had COVID even though they didn't test for it, that would mean that the vaccine is still 19% effective.
Right. And between 19 and 27%, there's another sort of asterisk that adds some more people into these groups. The point being, anyone who says 19 to 29% efficacy is assuming outright that all of those suspected cases were in fact cases. And you cannot do that. That's not true. That just isn't true. To flip the script, the other way of interpreting this data positively, the stuff he's published here, is to say that amongst the two groups, the placebo and the vaccinated, there was a 19 to 29% drop in the vaccinated group of people who thought they'd gotten it.
Yeah.
So there's a different, I mean, just as, to show how you can kind of frame and reframe the argument. But again, even, and not to throw Peter Doshi under the bus, I think the guy does a great job highlighting details and data in drug makers' publications that don't get enough attention. And that's
this,
all he's...
This is definitely interesting to think about, but I'm not sure whether this is an argument for the anti-vax crowd.
Well, so, yeah. And he also gave, he says what you said. You know, these influenza-like illnesses, meaning suspected COVID-19, it could be anything, rhinoviruses, influenza, other coronaviruses, adenoviruses, respiratory, syntactical, synctial, I can't even say I'm pronouncing that right or know what that is. Mm-hmm. The point being...
I'm going to let it fly.
It could have been any of those things. He's acknowledging that. What he's saying is he's putting not a red flag, he's putting a yellow flag in the middle of all of this data and saying, we need to look closer here and figure out if that means anything. Unfortunately,
Fair enough.
Anti-vax groups are taking this little cherry from the cherry tree and saying, and making a pie out of it, to continue that metaphor. And they're trying to persuade people that the efficacy of these mRNA vaccines are much lower than they actually are.
Okay, so what have we learned today? If you see a shocking video on YouTube or on Facebook being shared around by hundreds of thousands of people saying that the vaccine will do this to you and you watch someone convulsing in a hospital bed, don't worry.
Yeah. You literally have health authorities here in Germany. The Paul Ehrlich Institute is looking with big old binoculars, watching any sign of weirdness, any sort of side effect that seems to be happening that shouldn't be happening. And they have a much better view on things than you sitting at your computer or on the toilet with your smartphone.
Don't listen to it.
Yeah.
Do not make any conclusions on your own based on how shocking that is.
Yeah.
And what that person is saying. Also, if you hear someone saying that the Pfizer-BioNTech vaccine is 19% effective.
Wrong.
It's not.
Wrong. PCR-confirmed tests show its actual efficacy.
Thank you, Connor.
Yeah, and any of you, any other conspiracy theories that you're being, hit upside the face with that you can't debunk on your own?
Send them our way. We'll talk them on, and we love it. SU@DW.com.
Science Unscripted.